Well, somebody give glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a scripture I want to read. God reminded me. You know, there's a false, in my perception, a false ideology that goes around in the body of Christ, and they call it faith. Now, hang on with me. We have to live by faith. We will only please God by faith. But declaring that things can't ever touch you is a lie from hell. And I'll tell you why, because here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Ladies and gentlemen, just because you got sick don't mean you didn't have faith. I have heard people actually preach, you got sick, you must be something wrong with you. How many people's been sick? Everybody get your hands up. I know you had it. I've been getting a prayer request. You can stay in and you get it, right? So here's the deal. We remember what the word says. We are persecuted, but we're not crushed. We're knocked down, but we're not destroyed, folks. We can get knocked down. That means you're in a fight. You know, I mean, Joe's a football coach, right? How would you like it if, you know, you tell your guys to get out there and your line in particular and nobody ever got knocked down? They're not working hard enough. Hey, I don't care if you get knocked down, you bring him with you. But yet that's not what we teach. We believe, and we've gotten this false precept that in our mind that I got sick, therefore I must have sinned, or I'm not of faith. Paul got beat regularly, stoned, and we're not talking about the Bob Dylan kind. We're talking about big boulders. They left him under these rocks. They left him for dead 3 times. He got beat. We don't know that kind of persecution. Okay, so we got a little bit of sickness going around. You know what's been happening for the last 2,000 years? Sickness goes around. We won't let it deter our faith. Okay? And everybody is at a certain point. It's not for us to criticize anybody else. Church just needs to shut up about that. And we need to move on with our lives. And I'm moving on. Well, I did have a few announcements. Next week, obviously today is War on the Floor. You were all handed a slip. If you got one, make sure Phil gets that. This coming Saturday, the 8th, men's breakfast will be at 9 a.m. at the End Zone Restaurant here in Mount Gilead. Also, the same day, same time, about 9:30, the Strength in Him will be here for the ladies. And so we're excited to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do in all this. And, you know, remember that in all things, the devil wants anything but he wants to divide people. He wants to divide. Even the churches that have United built into their name are divided. Because that's why there are so many other sects of it, because they got divided. Y'all don't have to agree with everything I say. But if the Holy Spirit confirms to you that it's the truth, maybe you ought to walk in it. And you can't walk my road. I can't walk Joe's. We all have to walk the road that we're on. It's our faith. I'll do my best to encourage you. I'll do my best. 2022 is coming up. Y'all notice my voice is clear? God showed me a little something that I was doing. And for 2 days, I've not taken something. And my voice is clearing up. I woke up this morning, Angela's like, I can hear you. I said, I know. Wow. I said, it's been 2 days. I was having an allergic reaction. for 8 years. That's how long it's been going on. And it just got worse as they kept increasing the amount. So I'm going to do something different. When God shows you something, you do something different. Amen. I ain't saying you got to walk my road, but I'm personally tired of sounding like Froggy from Little Rascals. So, and I'm looking around, there's only a handful that did not get that reference. Oh, praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, to be in your body. Lord, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Lord, we are on the first Sunday, the first day that we come together, and we present it to you as holy, Lord. This is a day that we will pray. Your house shall be called a house of prayer. So, Father, right now we present this. We pray that you receive it. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those little guys are dismissed. She's going the wrong way, but hey. She wants her dada. You wouldn't think they've spent the last couple days with him. Oh, praise God. So I made a decision the other day. I decided I've taken up turkey hunting. Everybody keeps asking me, why aren't you going to take up turkeys? Why don't you shoot turkeys? I'm like, it costs $25 for a turkey at the store. But I decided I'm going to take up turkey hunting. So I did. I got one. I'm no longer allowed in Kroger's, but hey, I got one. I had to twist that up a little bit. I know you've heard the other one, especially if you're on Facebook. Praise God. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit here today yet about some more of the character of Christ, and then we're going to pray. Some of the things I wanted, when I really started talking about this, I never really sat down and put Galatians 5:22 in line with Jesus. I was just like, I'm going to go through there, and I'm going to pull out the things that I see. And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me, hey, I got a list right here. And so Galatians 5:22 is a great place. And if you're ever questioning yourself on something, Lord, is this my flesh or is this the Holy Spirit? Go to Galatians 5:20, 21, and 22. The first two verses, they're like this. They're the works of the flesh. The other one is like this. It's the fruits of the Spirit. And against all these things, there is no law that can ever be written. And so, you know, one of the things that I've looked at Jesus and, you know, some of the people that I've been around to see, they're not exhibiting all of the characters of Christ, the characteristics, because one of the things is patience. And if you paid attention to the stories that Jesus told, he told of a parable. He said when the king returned from a great journey, he found his hirelings beating the servants. This is all paraphrased, okay? In other words, he found the people that were supposed to be taking care of the people now abusing them. And we've been seeing that. And I see it more and more, and I see things that I don't agree with ministers in particular, about how they treat people. But this is how we are supposed to treat everybody in the body of Christ. And one of the things is Jesus was long-suffering. He was full of patience. Well, you know, Pastor, he said, you know, when Peter got in the boat, he said, Peter, how long do I have to be with you? How long do I have to carry you? Do you understand that's patience? And by the way, yes, he did say that. But he didn't keep browbeating Peter. When you keep browbeating people, they don't ever rise up. They fall into submission as a worthless slave who has no ambition of their own to do anything. And we wonder why in the body of Christ when we keep browbeating people about their sin. I started watching, 1883. Anybody else caught it? It's not for everybody. But there's one character on there in particular, and you know who I'm talking about. Super self-righteous. Religious to the max. I mean, it was gut-wrenching for me, to be honest with you. And it's stuff like that, it's like, that's how people see us. They see us as self-righteous because we're always pointing out their sin. Do you know that's not what we're called to do? We're called to love people. The role of the Holy Spirit is to point out the sin to the people. Now, as a teacher, it's my job to teach about things in the Bible, about how to control ourselves, how to govern ourselves. And that's the one thing Jesus did tell us to do. He said, govern yourself. Don't worry about what Tim's doing. And if God tells me to go say, hey, Tim, you know, what you're doing is harmful to you and to others, then I have to do that. But for me to go around and in particular this character, because I've unfortunately lived through some of them. Fortunately, I lived through it. Unfortunately, I had to endure it. Is the self-righteousness that people start looking down their nose at people, and they are. They're the first ones to cause problems. And then they turn, and when they go down in a blaze, they go down. They destroy everything around them because they never had self-control. They had religion. And so Jesus was full of patience with people. When he told his disciples, when the man who had a son with epilepsy, and he actually had a demon, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. And he said, Master, I brought my boy to your disciples, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, how long do I have to carry you? How long do I have to bear with you? I believe the Amplified says, how long do I have to carry you? It wasn't a sharp punch in the face. It was a backhand on the shoulder. Hey, how long do I got to keep doing this for you? We look at Jesus and we don't realize he was a man. We still try to put Jesus in a scope that we have no relation to. Well, he's the Son of God. Absolutely, he's the Son of God. He came in the flesh and dwelt among us, so he knew what it was like to be you. And when he saw that, he started having compassion on his own disciples, even into the Garden of Gethsemane. He told them, stay here and pray. Now we get a little critical and judgmental on people about that. Well, you need to pray an hour a day. Nowhere in the Bible does it say I have to pray an hour a day. So you can't take that little bit of scripture right there and say, God said you have to pray an hour a day. Bless God, Ms. Brent, if God told you to pray for 3 hours, you're going to pray for 3 hours, aren't you? You're going to pray until he says you're done. But if you start praying about something, Tim, and 10 minutes goes by, and you're like, oh man, I feel the burden lift, then you go through. You're done. You're done. You stop. You thank God for that he's answered it and move on with your life. I prayed one time when we was in the other building, and we were having war on the floors when we really first started it. And you know, that time it was a little bit different. It was in the afternoon, and you know, we all came back and we'd pray and just in our little groups, and we'd pray for an hour. And we didn't do it like we did. I like how we're doing it now, but I liked how we did it then. But that day, a burden came over me. And it just set on me so heavy that all I could do was actually lay on the platform. I laid up there by the pulpit and I prayed in the Spirit for over an hour. And then that burden lifted. Well, a couple days later, I found out that at that exact time, another pastor that I had just recently met, his wife had gone into labor and she was having difficulties. I think she had twins, didn't she? She was having difficulty with twins. I mean, it was life and death. So when she was fighting, God had put it on me, and I didn't know who I was fighting for. But God had put it on me to have this, and I couldn't move. I wanted to get up. Floors aren't exactly all that comfortable. But God didn't say, no, you got to pray an hour. And we kind of got over that because that's what we used to do. It was an hour. We can give God an hour. Well, yeah. If God wants an hour, I'll give him an hour. But if God didn't say, I got to have an hour, why am I killing myself? That's no different than the early practice of flogging yourself. The Roman Catholic Church used to teach this. You had your own little whip. And you'd strip down to your waist and you would beat yourself. Kind of stupid, isn't it? You would literally flog yourself for your sins. Then why did Jesus die? I'll only call people out on the carpet when they have something that goes against what the Word is actually saying. And this one goes totally against the Word. We're to discipline our bodies. Yes, the Bible tells us to buffet our bodies. That means work and discipline itself. You know, there was a time in life I was very disciplined about being in shape. Not so much. But there was a time, and you can ask Angela, I would just out of the blue, I'd go for a run. I realized I ran a lot. I was telling Tim, I realized one of the runs we did to go for having fun on one Friday morning was to the beach. And we ran, and I said, I always thought it was around 13 miles or so. I thought, yeah, that's a long run. That's a half a marathon. Until Google. And I started tracking out the roads that I knew we had run. Point A to point B to the beach was 17 miles. If we had run straight. We don't run straight. We had to run past the commanding general's building, and if I remember right, we sang the Marines' hymn, and then we kept running so that everybody could see us. By the time it was said and done, we had run a marathon in 4 hours. And I'd called cadence for at least 6 of those miles because we were rotating NCOs. And I was like, yeah, it was no problem. Never realized I'd ran a marathon. I won't ever do it again. I got a car. But I was disciplined. And Jesus came in, he told his disciples, tarry here and pray, lest you enter temptation. He come back an hour later, they're asleep. Y'all, you need to understand, this is like 2 in the morning. How many of you are asleep at 2 in the morning? Most of you. I was still doing dishes this morning, or I was cleaning the floors. I came to bed at 3. We are going to go to sleep because that's what we do. He comes back a little bit later. Could you not tarry? Again, religion says he's smacking them down. He's whipping them into shape. He was just trying to shake them enough to wake them, but he was still carrying them. And he went and prayed. Came back. Seriously, you're asleep again, guys. We forget Jesus is a man. And he knew that if he kept browbeating them, they weren't going to respond. Over time, even an animal will get used to the beating and they won't respond anymore. So then you beat them harder. Now you're abusing them. And Jesus was not into abuse of his people. So, when he told the disciples, how long do I have to carry you? He was just pushing them to trust a little bit more, to believe a little bit more. Not, I'm sick and tired of doing this for you. That's not what he was doing. He was simply stating how long. I will carry you to the end. And guess what? He did. He carried them to the very end. Now that's the thing, as moms and dads, we can carry our children to a point, right? We can make sure that things all line up for them. There comes a point. You're on your own. Then there comes a point you gotta boop. But your kids usually know when it's time to spread their wings and fly. I was ready at 18. Didn't do it until I was 19. Kind of had to have a car. Honestly, I think if I had joined the Marine Corps the year before, God would have brought everything into alignment for me. Don't disobey God. It just delays your blessings. But we carry our children. We do what we can do. But then we start, okay, it's your time to pay these bills. Why do I got to pay this? Because you need to know what it's like. Why do I got to turn off the lights? You pay the electric bill this month. You pay the heating bill. Why do I got to shut the doors? You can ask my wife. I'm on the doors and I'm on the lights. Especially since that one door, it just lets in the cold air and it goes right down my shirt. But we carry. And that's what God does to us. Because he's patient. Because it's all about love. We carry our children because it's about love. By the way, making them grow up is love. Even at little guys, every step they gotta take them. If they don't take this step, they're gonna not have the training they need for the next one. The only one I got to teach to ride a bicycle was Joshua, because Joshua taught Jesse, and I'm assuming Jesse taught Justin. Oh, you did. He still don't know. He's had bikes, we just don't see him riding them. It's got a flat tire, Dad. But the point is, we each have to take him to that step. There's a picture that Angela, we have, and I was teaching Joshua how to ride his bike. You know, a little tiny little bike was about yay big. I mean, he wasn't three. And he's on that bike. And he's riding, he's got this big old smile, he's laughing and cackling, and I got it by the seat, but the problem is I really don't have it by the seat. My hand is just there. He's doing the work. And then later he'd go and ride bikes, and he'd get grounded for listening to idiots and jumping off the wall at the house with his bike into the neighbor's yard. He learned. He followed in his father's footsteps of doing stupid stuff, so I was 19 when I finally learned about bikes. Just leave them alone. But God is patient with us. How long do I have to be? Well, the rest of my life. But I don't want him to have to be holding onto my seat of my bicycle anymore. He's wanting me to learn. Because guess what? There was a later time we all went to the trails. And we rented bikes. And he had his bike. And we went for a ride. Couldn't have done that if I was having to run behind him holding his bike. He couldn't have rode a motorcycle. Can't do that if you don't know how to ride a bike. It's about balance. So we got long suffering. Now Jesus was also a humble man. I hear I've heard people say, I'm the most humble person I know. You are so full of crap. Anybody who tells me that, I'm taking about four steps back. Because God, to my knowledge, God has not hit anybody with lightning yet. But I don't want to be that close to you if you say this. Because I do not believe, first off, that in, I believe it's Exodus, where it says, and Moses was the most humble on the face of the earth, was the most humble man. Well, Moses wrote all this stuff. Moses didn't write it. He dictated it. More than likely, Joshua was the one who wrote it. So Joshua put that in there about him, because Joshua was from a standpoint of seeing how much Moses cared for these people. Moses fought for these. He fought God. Do you understand what that was like? He stood between God and the people to stop blights from killing them. And he even said, at one point he said, if you do this, kill me and remove my name from the book of life. Don't tell me that Moses didn't have patience. Because to be honest with you, sometimes I thought I'd have stepped aside and said, have at it. Because God himself described his people as hard-headed, stiff-necked people. They want to do what they want to do. But I don't believe for one minute that Moses himself wrote that in there. I do believe that it was Joshua, and that's a common thought that Joshua was actually the scribe. If you understand how things happen, usually a prophet would have somebody write it for him. So, but Jesus came. We say, well, yeah, of course he humbled himself. He came from the throne room of heaven to here on earth. Philippians, that's what Paul told me, said he humbled himself. Yes, he humbled himself. He did come from there to here, but you need to understand, he literally was born in a barn. He was born into such a situation that it was shameful. Anybody else come from that? It just goes to prove that no matter how bad the shameful situation is, God is still good. And God will bring about what needs to be brought about in that situation. So yes, I came from my throne to sit here in a stone receptacle for hay and feed. There was no room. My mother was an unwed mother. They weren't married yet. We seem to forget that. It said betrothed. They weren't married. And yet, we seem to forget that the night of his betrayal, Jesus brought all of his disciples in. He sat them down, took off his shoes, probably dropped the top of, took off his robe, and put on a servant's apparatus, and he sat down and he washed every disciple's feet. And I've tried to point this out to people. I don't think they understand. They didn't have boots like we have. They had sandals. And if they did have solid type shoes, they were strapped. So you still had dirt get in there. And if you got sandals, anybody, you know, okay. They didn't have cars. They had sheep, donkeys, oxen, horses, goats, camels. Y'all getting a picture? You may remember Amish country? You need to go. We don't like getting it on our cars, yet alone in your toes. Because not everybody had shoes. And yet he sat down and he washed their feet. Peter got so incensed, he said, Lord, you shall not wash my feet. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Well, and if you're going to do that, give me a bath. Peter, you need to understand, I believe Jesus was the most patient with Peter. This is the night that Jesus is going to be betrayed. And he's still being stupid. He's still being petty. He's still being childish. You're going to give me a bath. Nothing personal. Yeah, that ain't happening. Even when I get older, if I have to, wheel me into my shower and give me a garden hose. I'll take care of myself. Jesus was so patient with Peter. And Peter's the one who declared his love. I would die for you. I know you will, and someday you will. But this night, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. to the very end, he was patient with Peter. Because he knew what Peter's capabilities were. But the humility that it took to kneel before his servants, his subjects, and wash their feet one by one. We're not talking a ceremonial foot washing like we do today. That's ceremonial. That's it. This was, I got to clean your feet. And so when he finished, then he was the MC for the night. He humbled himself in so many ways to sit with the children. He was kind. The children knew that. But he humbled himself. Today, you can't get preachers. I heard one preacher's wife said, I don't change diapers. That's your job. And she was working in the nursery. You'll never hear that from her, I'll promise you that. Humility is not bragging about it. Oh, look at, I'm so humble. Anything you got for being humble is gone. You just washed it. Bible tells us not to go blowing our own horn. Don't go bragging about what you did. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And that doesn't mean you hide things from your spouse, folks. I've heard a lot of people twist that. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know what that results in? Sometimes a frying pan. Especially if it's a major purchase. If you know how to sew, you know, was it Willie Nelson? I know Waylon Jennings' wife did it. Sewed him into the sheets, beat him. You won't come home drunk like this again. But Jesus was a humble man. He had a humble job. Carpenters were not looked upon greatly. As a matter of fact, they're really not looked upon greatly today. Oh, you're just a carpenter. Do you know what it takes to build a building? There's a lot of things to think about. If you're just the grunt who gets to sweep the floor, and I say gets to sweep the floor, I miss those days. But it takes a lot of knowledge. Well, I had one person told me, I charged them $65 to move a light in an attic on a 90-degree day in their living room. $65. That's nothing. Evidently, that person told their son, who I was working on a house, he charged me $65 for an hour's work. Well, I got to pay 30% taxes, so start doing the math. And I turned in my receipts. And I claimed my money. And then he asked me to bid something else for him. He said, I don't pay $65 an hour. No, you didn't, because I just doubled the price. Because I cut my own throat for nearly 20 years. We have got to remember not to look down upon people just because they do something different. Everybody's job is important. Now, I don't think influencers on YouTube are important. That's my personal opinion. I don't think TikTok garbage is important. I think teachers are important. I think farmers are important. I think the drivers are important. I think the things that we have are important. People look down on mechanics. You're just a grease monkey. You ever heard that, Dave? Yeah. You're just a mechanic. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go call your computer scientist next time your car needs a transmission? Because knowledge goes beyond the book. This is something we were telling Jesse last week, or we were talking about, and I said, he's like, oh, some of this stuff, I said, you're going to learn so much more in the fleet. Because the first thing they told us was, this is just a skim course, because it was 4 months to teach a bunch of guys that never touched a diesel engine how to work on diesel engines. Some of the guys didn't even have driver's license, so they didn't touch cars. And I said, they told us, you're going to learn so much more on the job when you get in the fleet. And we did. By the time it was said and done, I knew so much more. And the guys that came out of school, they'd send me, hey, go talk to Corporal Waddell. He's done this before. So they'd come in and talk to me, and I'd tell them what they had to do. Because it wasn't taught. But yet, in our world, we look down on things like this. We hold up CEOs. Like you did anything. You hand off all your work. And I realize some of them push, but I'm just saying the CEO is no more important than the bottom guy on the tier. Without the guy on the bottom, nobody gets anything done. We're in a world today where we're trying to computerize everything. It'll be a computer. It ain't going to happen. Somebody's got to fix the computers. I know Kroger, they went with an automated picking system. Somebody's still got to fix it. Somebody's still got to operate it. And eventually, I believe somebody's still going to have to pick the orders. But we should never look down on somebody because they do something. I had a friend one time who, he was my age, or a year behind me anyhow, but I ran into him one day working at Wendy's. Now he's married, two kids. And he says, man, I hate the fact that I'm having to serve you here. I said, why? He said, it's just a job at Wendy's. I said, man, I will never look down on you. I will never look down on you for trying to provide for your family. Do I think he should have been beyond that at this point? Almost 30 years out of high school, yes. But at least he did something. He was doing something. So anybody that looks down on anybody for that is a fool. Because they're going to spit on your hamburger. I know I'd think about it. I'm telling you, y'all got to be glad I'm saved. I thought a lot of stuff. But humility is part of it. If we want to be like Christ, we have to be humble. We have to know who we are. Don't think Jesus didn't know who he was. He's the Son of the Most High. The only begotten. We've been adopted. He's the only one. And yet he said, I'm going to make you my joint heir. Everything my Father has, I'm going to give it to you as well. So we have got to be humble. We've got to be patient with people. Not everybody can overcome the thing you did. And that's religion that says, well, I got over it in a month. I knew somebody who still to this day berates people who are trying to quit smoking, which smoking doesn't send you to hell. Let's just get that out there. It's not good for you. But this particular person condemns people. Well, they've been saved, so they should be quitting smoking. Well, I happen to remember it took you quite a few years to quit. Let God deal with them, because they're probably taking care of other issues. And that's what I have found with God. He deals with the ones, he'll take the ones right out of the way that won't kill you. Yeah, if you understand, like if you do a surgery and we do too much at one time, it can kill you. So he takes away, God took away from me the alcohol. He took away that desire because I craved it. You need to understand, I craved it since I was little. My mother had a big old Stroh's bottle, and I'm right here. And we were talking about this the other day, and she said, hey, we had to start putting our cigarette ashes, our cigarettes out, which the cigarette was in the other hand. But they were told to smoke. Oh, it's okay. It's good for the baby. No, it isn't. But anyhow, she said, we had to start putting our cigarettes out in our bottles because you were drinking the beer at 3. So I can tell you what the bottom of an ashtray tastes like. Yeah. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. That's not a thought. That's not a memory that goes away. So I craved it. And then God took the craving. But yet he let me fight others. I still fight things. We all fight things. And if you're not, then you must have transcended to another plateau. You and John Lennon are sitting somewhere smoking your hookah. Because we're changed one degree of glory to the next. We're constantly changing. We may not realize that maybe I'm not treating people as nice, right as I should. Being firm is one thing. Being a jerk is another. Let me tell you how God's changing me. You want to tell them what we got? I didn't go get them. They just showed up. But I'm the only one that I've gotten the closest to them. They won't let anybody else nearby. And now the one I think I'm going to call Popeye, because I think mom and dad were brother and sister. It's got one big eye and one little eye. So I'm like, oh, you got an eye infection. No, you don't have an eye infection. You got wonky eyes. It's either that or Willy Wonka. But I think Popeye would work better. But I saw them a week or so before Christmas. I saw the one, and I told her, I said, here's the deal. I said, if they stay around, we'll keep them, and I won't kill them. And then Addie's like, did you guys know you have 2 cats? I knew we had one at one time. Well, there's 2. I saw 2. And then next thing I know, y'all know you have 3 cats? No. Which I have noticed, I don't have chipmunks running across my shop anymore. Because anywhere there was dirt, they were digging it out and making tunnels under my concrete. So, like, just stay off my truck, please. You can get on Justin's car, I don't care. But you see, God started dealing with me about being like that. So maybe cats won't go running all the time. I don't know, we'll see. Just kind of had that air everywhere I went. But let God begin to change you. If you need to work on your patience, he's going to. You don't have to ask him. You're going to get the test. You're going to get it because I talked about it today. And you also might get the humility issue. You might get to deal with a little bit of humility. You know, I just kind of got to humble myself. Back off a little bit. Let somebody else in the limelight. We aren't called to be an island unto ourselves. We're a continent. God only had one continent. Sin broke it apart. All right, so let's go before the Lord here. I got to get some water while Phil brings me the prayer request. And if you have any, raise your hand or give it to Phil on his way up.